Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gov Transformer podcast series. From being the Director of Public Safety for the City of Plainfield, New Jersey, to the direct oversight of the Attorney General of New Jersey's Enforcement Division, Giles Schiff, the current Director of Public Safety Solutions at Apigen, has a broad range of public safety experience and plenty of insights to share. And Giles has been kind enough to spend some time with us today to share with us some of these insights with regards to public safety trends. And Giles, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Doing great. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And let's jump right in. Before we really get started, tell us a little bit more about your background.
Well, I first started out in the United States Marine Corps, and also at the same time, I was in college. I completed that, and then I decided I wanted to be into the field. Wanted to go into the field of law enforcement. So I started my law enforcement career in 1985, first serving as an officer, and eventually investigations with the Edison Police Department in New Jersey, which is the fifth most populated municipality in the state. I've also served as an instructor for the Middlesex County Police Academy. And as you said, I had recently served as the Director of Public Safety for the City of Plainfield as the Chief Executive Officer of the Department of Public Safety, where I oversaw the Police Division, Fire Division, and the Office of Emergency Management, having responsibility for 254 sworn personnel and 51 civilian employees, and managed a budget of $23 million. I had the opportunity to serve, and I was called on by the Attorney General to serve at the New Jersey State Attorney General's office in the Division of Criminal Justice, which is the enforcement arm, the criminal enforcement arm of the Attorney General's office. I had the pleasure of serving there with a number of attorney generals, but the initial attorney general asked me to come. I served as a special assistant to him as the director of the Division of Criminal Justice, where I was responsible for community justice coordination. And what we did with that respective unit, we collaborated with state, federal, and local law enforcement officials, prosecutors, policymakers, and elected officials, as well as academia, and most importantly, community groups, to establish community justice initiatives, a number of them. I also served as a supervising state investigator, lieutenant state investigator, and administrative investigations, where I served over a number of units, special prosecutions unit, antitrust fraud and public protection unit, as well as Medicaid fraud, and handled pretty much anything in the area of white-collar crime except securities, which we had a separate unit to handle that. I also served as a instructor at the Bergen County College, Bergen County College, and there I taught police administration. I'm also a certified community policing practitioner by the U.S. Department of Justice and a certified crime prevention practitioner. And lastly, but not least, I served on two governor's transitions teams for law and public safety and homeland security, as well as in this capacity, in my capacity now, I am serving as the Director of Public Safety Solutions for Apigen that provides an array of IT solutions and services.
That's great. What an impressive background, and it spans a wide range of law enforcement. And with so much knowledge and expertise in this arena, what is your perspective on how technology is changing this landscape?
Well, specifically in the area of public safety, police, be it federal, state, or local level, technology is now upgraded to a must-have, no longer relegated to a nice-to-have type of a tool in the field. Law enforcement technology has changed the way police conduct business and continues to do so. Emerging technologies, new uses of existing technologies, and changing the landscape of police work every day. Technology today is so versatile, and is really a tool that's used from the highest levels of law enforcement, starting with the Department of Justice, going right down to your local law enforcement. And policing has been slow to come on board with the utilization of technology for several reasons, but the private sector is head and shoulders above us, and now we are learning to partner with them more in our efforts to enhance public safety in the respective communities. An example of on a federal level, which comes down to a state and local level as well, since 1994, the Department of Justice, specifically the COPS office, has supported the use of technology to advance the community policing efforts of state and local and tribal law enforcement agencies, awarding more than $2.4 billion in funding across the nation. That was as of fiscal year 2009. You can find a lot of this information also if you go to the DOJ COPS site. But topics such as call management, data sharing and information systems, voice interoperability, surveillance cameras, general technological planning, which is critically important. You just don't want to go out and get technology and don't really have a clear and defined mission as to what results you want from that. Also, information sharing system portals, which we've done a much greater job with now post 9/11. Technology plays a key role in community policing as well as the facilitator of partnerships, enhancers of problem solving, and enabler of organizational change.
That's great. And let's shift focus, still in the vein of technology, but tell us more about data and how it impacts law enforcement and how some of the CAD systems that we've talked about and how they're being leveraged these days.
For the longest time in law enforcement, a lot of the answers that we were looking for, we already had. But unfortunately, they were in file cabinets in various different, a lot of times in various different divisions in the same police agency. So there were separate silos of information that would be of great assistance to us to help us solve crime and help us work more proactively through an intelligence-led policing model to better thwart crime before it even actually occurs, which is the optimum thing that any law enforcement agency would like to do. Give you a couple examples. The CAD system that you refer to is an acronym for computer-aided dispatch. Within every call that comes into a police department is logged into a computer, which is more or less a collection of some data. So that data, along with other data that may be involved in the captured in a police report, data that may be captured in an interview, all of this data now can be funneled and can be digested and made intelligible for people following up on investigations. That's revolutionary in the field of law enforcement for a number of reasons. One, it cuts down time of investigation, and anybody that knows anything about investigations, it's critically important. The more information you can get, the earlier you can get it, the quicker you can respond to it, and that's ideal for people in the investigative section of any law enforcement agency. Technology has evolved so much, not just with the data, but that's one way, and that's very significant. It's even evolved in such a way that we can make systems talk to each other. What do I mean by that? With the economic downturn of the past several years, it has been devastating. The local economies and their local law enforcement agencies were hit hard as well. There have been a tremendous number of layoff, furloughs, unfilled jobs, and that means you would like to think that means less public safety. But we don't have that privilege of providing less public safety in the law enforcement sector. We still have to provide public safety. And what does that make us do? That makes us become more innovative. We have to think more. We got to be smarter with the tools we had. By the end of the year, there will probably be expected to be another 12,000 officers and sheriff deputies that will have been laid off. An estimated 28,000 officers and deputies had faced week-long furloughs as well. So as you can tell, that's going to have an impact. What we have to do is to make sure that we deliver services through utilization of technology and utilize technology as a force multiplier. To give you one example, if I may, and give you one that's near and dear to me, it's close to me. I'm originally from the state of New Jersey. A police department in the state of New Jersey, give you a little case history. While the new economy had an impact on them like other police departments, they used that as a catalyst. Excuse me. They used that as a catalyst to make changes that were long overdue. The East Orange, New Jersey Police Department began tackling dual problems of high crime and limited resources over 7 years. In 2003, the city of Orange experienced the highest overall and second highest violent crime rate in New Jersey. Increasing and persistently high crime rates showed its reliance on reactive policing methods for controlling crime. What did they do? In East Orange, they developed and implemented a proactive, data-driven crime prevention policing strategy that embodied a public safety information grid, PSIG, concept to achieve more effective and efficient outcomes. The practitioners defined integrated technology platforms enabling officers on the East Orange PD to combine intelligence-led and real-time policing methods into a single powerful policing paradigm. They were able to take cameras that can do a lot more than we use them for nowadays, smart cameras, I like to call them, and connect those to license plate recognition systems and also tie that into gunshot detection systems, which was fed right back to the communication center and can be easily shot out to the local district police car. So that's an incredible amount of additional information for the police officer to have, one, arriving on the scene for situationally, and also for follow-up for the investigators. So that's just some ways that, you know, data can be used, and a proving example of how it was used. It was used so good in that particular municipality until they had a reduction of over 72% in their crime rate. Over 72% reduction is almost unheard of. But they were able to achieve that primarily through the utilization of technology as a force multiplier.
That's incredible. Wow, that's an amazing case study right there. And, you know, before we sign off, Giles, this has been tremendously insightful, especially from the technology perspective, how it really does drive outcomes when it comes to law enforcement. You know, is there anything else you'd like to add, anything we didn't cover?
Yeah, well, I mean, just some of the things that we've been able to benefit from in law enforcement with technologies, in addition to the CAD system, video cameras, biometrics are now being closely reviewed at the highest level by the Department of Homeland Security and testing surveillance technology that could someday allow law enforcement officers to scan crowds with video cameras and ID people by their faces, but also robotics, GPS, vehicle pursuit darts that stick on a car and allow officers to back off a chase that can be very dangerous and ultimately injure innocent people, to right down to an iPad. iPads are being utilized now for writing speeding tickets, to taking notes on a crime scene, to tape statements, to take pictures, videos, and also they have now been so there's some sophisticated apps out now that you can even design a crime scene from. So, you know, I guess I would say, you know, in closing, one, that, as I said, technology is a must now in law enforcement, but please understand, before you go out, get different types of technologies. Understand what your mission is. What do you want to use it for? Why are we building it, so to speak? Your objectives. A huge piece of the solution is being able to quantify the benefits and measure your impact. Data protection. Be sure that that's one of the things you think about. Then the reliability and the maintainability of it. So, you know, with all of that being said, and also there are legal parameters with respect to what types of technology you can use and what you can do with it, so make sure you're aware of that too. So try to identify a partner that you're comfortable with, someone that that you can trust, rather than just going out buying all types of technology. Use a good qualified consultant to work with you to develop that paradigm that's going to work in your respective community.
That's great. What a perfect way to end this podcast. And for all of our listeners out there, you heard our very first Gov Transformer podcast interview. And today we spoke with Giles Shipp, who is the current Director of Public Safety Solutions at Apigen, who was kind enough to spend time with us today to share some very illuminating insights on the state of technology and public safety and law enforcement. And Giles, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.